lost to ignorance and confusion. Three men arose from humble beginnings with a message of wisdom and hope for their troubled times. Three men who would eventually change the very face of humanity.
But they fell off a cliff. So, here are some other guys.
It's Song Talk Radio with Bruce, Neil, and Phil.
And good evening and welcome to Song Talk Radio with Bruce, Neil, and Phil for show number 178, broadcasting to you live on CJRU 1280 here in Toronto, Canada. We are streaming live to you on the web at songtalk.ca/live-stream. And Song Talk Radio is the show with songwriters talking to other songwriters about the craft of songwriting. Brand new songwriters or established professionals. Together we share tips and techniques and cool things, and then we all become better at writing songs. That's the theory, anyway. I'm your host, Bruce Harrett, and joining me tonight, the intrepid members of the Song Talk Radio Action Team. Over in the corner there, we have Mr. Phil Emery. The camera swings around.
I'm very intrepid.
There he is. And Mr. Neil Modi.
Intrepid as usual.
He's on the board.
Someone less intrepid.
And on the social media.
You can't measure intrepidness.
Hey. What? On social media tonight, standing in for, and she is, for Vanessa Vrillian, we have Nicole DiDonato. Yay. She's returning triumphantly.
Yes.
She used to be doing this for us for a while. During the show, you can send your comments and questions to @songtalkradio on Twitter, and we'll share them with the audience in real time. And please stop by our website. That's songtalk.ca. You can find out how to be guest on the show. Tonight, our guest is Jenny Perez. She's a classically trained singer and pianist, a pop ballad singer-songwriter. Jennifer Perez loves performing and collaborating with other artists. In fact, she has played piano for our very own Laura Ryan, a pop singer-songwriter. She met at our very own Songwriters Meetup.
Wow,
see,
there
it,
you
works.
Go.
It works. Jennifer Perez, Jenny Perez, recently performed her song Dream Again at Kerner Hall. Best acoustics in Canada, apparently, in celebration of Toronto's Culture Days.
Yay.
So please welcome to Song Talk Radio, Jenny Perez.
Yay.
Lovely to have you here, Jenny.
Hi, Jenny. And we should say also that accompanying on the second song tonight will be Sherry Jacoby over here.
And
she's
yes.
She is a friend of Song Talk Radio. You've been on the show. Yeah. You're a friend of Songwriters Meetup. You've been there several times, and you're a good example of someone who's actually collaborated with a whole bunch of different folks. So that's terrific.
We'll
be
lovely.
Hearing from you later.
Amazing.
So, what have you been doing lately? Are you still writing?
Yes and no. I took a little bit of a break.
Yeah. This winter.
Yeah, this winter, but...
You went to your winter home in Florida, Mexico?
I wish. in Calgary, actually, that's where I'm from.
Oh.
So I visited my family there, and then actually recently I got booked for a gig for dinner theater. So it's called Orange is the New Pink, and I'll be with Jubilation Celebration. So it's Winnipeg, Edmonton, and Calgary, and I'll be starting that in a month, but I just want to keep... Of course, I won't forego the songwriting, like, anytime I'm inspired.
Oh, so you've got some gigs to do with some other performers.
Yeah.
Great. It's like a tour.
So are those doing, like, the sort of American songbook kind of things?
Yeah. It's a lot of, like, Billboard oldies.
Jubilee, Victoriana, and all that.
But, you know, that's a great thing. Those are classic songs, and you'll learn so much just by playing them all the time and really picking apart sort of what makes them magic, you know?
Exactly, yeah.
Because it's been proven over time that those songs last.
Yeah.
You know, so there's a reason why those songs last, and it's good to go through those old songs and really pick them apart, because regardless whether or not you like the style, there is, like, technique in there that you can really learn about how they handle, you know, where they come in on the line, you know, where they hit the hard and soft consonants in their rhymes. It's good stuff.
So how long have you actually been writing songs then?
Maybe 3 years.
Oh, is that all? Okay.
Okay. What brought you to songwriting? What inspired you?
I was in Calgary and I was kind of like restless. I didn't know what to do. Like, I dabbled in a bit of theater, like community theater, and then I just knew that I wanted to express my own opinions, my own ideas, my own experiences, and then I just got involved in the community there. So I joined a like a local competition there, and then through that I met just the local talent and picked their brains. And then I know that Toronto is just this hub of amazing artists, and going to open mic here is just, you know, it's
pretty
amazing.
Cool. Yeah.
Like, oh, I don't want to go up now. Or, so, oh, that was really inspiring.
So, I take it you've always been a singer.
I've always been I actually started out with piano, and then I kind of, but I never played them together. So like playing it, accompanying myself,
that's
I'm still getting used to it.
Yeah.
So,
it's but a little bit tricky. Yeah.
But as a musician, I see everyone, you know, that's
did
that's
you
what
have,
they do.
Jenny, did you have the classical vocal training? Was it operatic?
Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh,
so
wow.
you'll hear that. I'm sure you'll hear it come. I'm not sure. Hopefully not the whole time, but and a lot of musical theater. I get a lot of comments like there's a very musical theater. So it's funny when I take like voice lessons for specifically for pop, they say like loosen up on your consonants. You don't have to be very articulate.
We don't agree here on Song Talk Radio.
No, I,
oh, really?
I know exactly what she's saying because there's a formality.
You know,
there's a formality in
Classical singing.
In classical singing, which is made because opera is made to be basically filling the Massey Hall basically with no amplification. So you have to sing really loud, and you have to sound really clear.
You have to over-articulate.
So people in the cheap seats can hear.
Right.
And when you hear people who can do that, it's pretty friggin' amazing.
It is.
Yeah. Because you really can hear them clear at the end.
Yeah, yeah.
But when you do that into a pop format, it really actually kind of it puts a real sort of distance between you and the listener. And that's the thing that happened, especially Bing Crosby was the first one who actually sang with a mic. Because when you sing with a mic and when you sing without a mic, it's a very different technique.
Yes.
And when you hear like people like Bono, he'll talk right next, and he's right next to your ear, and he's very close, and it's very, very intimate.
Mm-hmm.
And opera tends to not do that because you have to fill up this huge place with the voice.
Mm-hmm.
So it's it's good that you notice that, because some people who have incredible training don't notice it, and it does kind of... I remember hearing these classical people doing Four Strong Winds, and it was Four Strong Winds,
and
beautiful song of heartbreak and breaking and the sort of
maybe
formality.
That's why a recorded opera really gets on my nerves, because it seems over loud and over articulated.
Maybe.
But it's not meant to be naturalistic because of the style, right?
And there's also the musical difference too, like opera and classical and theater too tends to have a lot more vibrato in the voice as well. Pop. Not as much, often.
Yeah.
But Jennifer, you know about this being sort of an opera person, because there was a style in opera singing. Because if you hear, I worked in a bookstore, and we had CBC radio when it was playing classical on all the time. So I've heard so much opera in my life, you wouldn't believe it. And I'm not a huge fan.
Maybe more than me, so.
But,
probably.
So there was, I know, at one time it was very fashionable to have a lot of vibrato in the voice. And then modern, it's sort of less. And I find that a little bit more pleasant, because it's a little bit more...
I do
as
well.
Yeah.
I've been to teachers, like some don't care. They just on the ending of phrases and stuff. But one wants me to do it on every single note, which I'm not used to.
Oh.
But there's some, I think it makes you have more control. But I just don't like how it sounds.
Yeah.
Like just my personal taste. But it's good to experiment. I'm open to experimenting.
Well, it's good to have that control. You know, like there's nothing wrong with having lessons. I come from the rock and roll world, and it's like, oh, I don't have any lessons, and I've never taken any training, and that's fine. But you know, it's when you have that control, you can actually do things with your voice, because you're paying attention to how you're hitting the front of the note and the end of the note.
Hopefully. But that's the theory. Yeah, that's if all goes well. But there's also, if you get too much training, I think that takes away from creativity, and then everything's so structured. So I, like sometimes when I record myself, I listen back to it like, you know, it's missing like emotion
Okay, so there's a difference between training and technique. So when you're taught, you learn technique. However, the thing is to forget about all the technique and let the emotion drive the voice, right? That's why I say to performers when I coach them, I say connect to the song and you know your technique already. If you know it well enough, it will kick in as you need it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, like whether it's a head voice or a chest voice, you don't have to go, oh, I think on that part I'll use the head voice. No, it'll naturally be when that note is like, hey, it'll be there, and then it'll be down here. You know, it'll go where it needs to go.
Yeah.
And
so you have to just watch out to not be in your head when you're singing to
apply. And I've had that problem.
Of course.
And it goes the same, with any performance. I mean, if you practice it enough, you get to the point where you're not really thinking about it anymore. You just do it. And in commonplace, we call that, you know, getting into the zone.
Yeah.
Right? And then you're just feeling your way through it because you know your technique well enough.
And a lot of I knew a classical flutist back years ago.
Flautist.
Yeah, well, they call themselves both, actually.
But they're called flutists.
I was married to her, and she called herself a flutist.
Oh, yeah?
So I have it on good authority. Anyway, she would say that she was so classically trained that she actually had to take a course in improvisation. So they had an improvisation course, which was to let go of it all and make it up as you go. Because if you're a slave to the score... I'd like a classic of your slave to the score, and you're never released from that. So it's good for, I think, any musician, it's really good to have that ability to just invent, right? Forget all the music. Forget those little black dots and squiggles. Forget everything you learned and just put it out there.
Sometimes the best things come out when you're not even...
You're not thinking about
music. Yeah, you're not thinking, you're just feeling it .
Is your most of your inspiration then when you write a song coming from an emotional place?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
Like, for example?
Okay, so for Dream Again, I wrote that a couple years ago, and it was when I just started getting back into music, and I just was really happy just to be around musical people, away from the office. I was in healthcare, and I was just happy, just really, really happy. And then inspiration from, like family members who have passed, and just, you know. Mm. And then with Mr. Tinder, that was after a breakup, and... exploring the world of online dating.
Scary.
That's a tough thing, isn't it?
Ugh. It's horrible and wonderful and everything in between.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. Yeah.
Why don't we hear a song?
Yes. Yeah, good idea.
Sure. How about Dream Again?
Sure.
Okay.
So what's, now, can you talk about the song, like how, when you wrote it? And
yeah, I was washing the dishes. I was in the kitchen and I've heard this, I can't remember which artist this was, but it feels like a wave. Like, for some reason, you feel so strongly about an idea or just things just come to you. And then I just had to stop and go to the piano, feel around. And I did edit it throughout the years, but, like, the base of it was done, I don't know, in the span of, like, a day or so. But with, like, workshopping, seeing what people think, and then coming back to it.
Oh, great.
And the comments that I got from the last meetup really helped. So
oh, excellent.
We can talk about that after if you'd like.
Nice. Absolutely.
Yeah.
who had the best comment of the three of us? Do you remember?
Oh, gosh.
Oh, come on.
No, we're not going to do that.
I can't, actually.
No, I'm just funning you. So here's, are you ready?
Yes.
So here's Jenny Perez, and she's going to do a song that she wrote called Dream Again.
Said, heart so full of pride, haunting me. Rain wash away my tears, show light through all my fears. Let me breathe again, let me breathe again. Come and go, they leave me in pieces, but you stand the test of time. Will you be mine? You wipe my tears, a light in my darkest year. Let me feel again, let me feel again. Doesn't matter how much time has gone by, I will always need you by my side. And I feel you whenever you call, then I can go on. I saw through the wind, I'm high and free. tears. Show light through all my fears. Let me dream again. Let me dream again.
Very nice.
There it is.
That was Dream Again. That was Jenny Perez on what is it called? Song Talk Radio with Bruce, Neil, and Phil. We're on CJRU 1280 AM in beautiful, rainy Toronto.
Yes.
Phil, what did you think?
Lots of great little... so many wonderful things. You do that great thing, which I'll never be able to do, where you do that kind of break with your voice, where you kind of go into the falsetto, I guess, which is so tasty. It's so effective.
So emotional.
It's so emotional. Yeah. And you had at one point, I think you went from the major to the minor or something of a chord.
I like doing that a lot.
Oh, that is, you know, I love it too.
I noticed that too. That was amazing.
Doing that. It's a little bit of a shtick. But I love it because I do it all the time because it's just so cool.
Okay.
But you know? I don't think everyone does that all the time. It's certainly not that conventional.
No, it's
like, I've
were
never
your chords
done that.
There, Jenny?
You should.
Do you know what major chord you went to the minor?
Oh, it was E minor.
You went E minor from what?
From E major, right?
No, I think that was straight into the bridge.
Okay, so, but you're coming off a major chord into a minor chord. What major chord were you coming off of?
I think it
was
of?
G. G, okay.
So I'm just floating between D and G, and then E minor.
Did you mean, Phil, that was actually going from the same letter,
it's,
major to minor?
It sounded like you were
it
going from
like
a major.
It sounded like
it
at one point.
I could have, I just can't remember.
It was, it's a lovely, and you had lots of really tasty chord progressions. And I mean, I think that's one of the advantages of having a classical training is that it does give you a large palette of chords to choose from.
Mm-hmm.
And you really explored them. I mean, like you're saying, you're just going through G and D technically, but I mean, there was a lot of, you were doing lots of interesting voices, you were doing extensions. I mean,
yeah, there was
just
for our listeners, so we're clear about what we're talking about. We're talking about going from the major to the minor. We're talking about staying on the same letter.
Yeah.
So you're going from, if you went to E minor, you're going from E major to E minor, or you're going from G major to G minor, which is certainly, like, you're certainly leaving the key signature you're in.
Yeah, I mean, very often you do that at the end of a line, so da 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 da, just sort of, you know, because
it's often at the end of a line.
Yeah,
more or less.
It's in Mr. Tinder as well. So
yes.
Oh. Here's Sherry playing.
So what does it say there, Sherry? What is what notes are going? What chords are going?
For Mr. Tinder, the next song, there's A minor to A, as well as D to D minor.
Oh, there you go.
Okay, well, listen for that. So I also noticed, Jenny Perez, the vocal training. I mean, I haven't, you know, we've had a lot of people on here, and you have the chops. I mean, what I really noticed was when you sustain a note, there's no push. It's just like butter.
Yeah.
It's just so smooth.
Like
and
butter.
It's sustained and just a touch of vibrato at the very end just to color it, right?
I'm glad.
Yeah. It doesn't sound,
it doesn't sound
technique
at
all.
No, it does not at all.
It was totally supporting the feelings in the song. The one thing I was interesting is you seemed to suspend your time signature through the whole thing. It was very loose because I was trying to, there were times when I got it's in four, right?
Yes, and I'm probably just offbeat.
No,
beautiful. No, what were you? I'm not criticizing. I'm saying that you chose to do it free, right? And I would love to hear this tune, actually. It would be really interesting if it went into a sequence where it locked into, like if it had a bit of a rhythm section, if it locked it with the bass.
I would love to experiment with
that. Yeah, because then you could come out of that again into the free form.
The free was really nice.
Gorgeous.
And of course, it's always a difference when it's just voice and piano. You can float the tempo as much as you want because it's just you playing. If you're playing in a band situation, it's a little bit trickier to do that.
Yeah.
it's generally frowned upon.
Yeah, generally.
But, you know, one thing that I wanted to mention is, and in talking about the vocal training, I know we've talked about it before, but how you really hit the ends of the words. Like, you went really soft. There's a couple of really soft words where you had, like, ES at the end. And it was like, you know, like you really heard those last two letters of each word. And I mean, you hit the top of the words and the end of the words really, really strong.
Mm-hmm.
And it didn't sound hard. Like when I've told people that, they think, oh, it's going to sound hard. It doesn't. It just sounds clear, you know?
I'm glad.
Yeah.
Because I'm not, I don't have a lot of experience with the mic, so I'm not sure.
It was great, yeah.
Yeah, that's fine.
Well, interesting because we were actually hearing it all just acoustically.
It's just in the room. You know, but of course, that again goes back to that difference between the classical and the pop idiom of singing style. The classical, you're going to really articulate those consonants.
Yeah.
In pop, a lot of singers do end up neglecting them to the point where you can't hear them at all.
Yeah.
Right. And there is a happy medium. I think you're actually living in that space right now. Like you're articulating, them, but they're not overly articulated and they're not lost into.
You know what? Feedback really helps. Cause if I never got the feedback and like just putting yourself out there, joining these groups, I wouldn't know. And then you're kind of relying on the same opinions, whoever you play in front of. Yeah. So.
You know who's good to listen to, Jenny Perez, besides Jenny Perez, is if you listen to Tony Bennett or Ella Fitzgerald, any of those great, or even Sinatra, those great singers, because they don't always articulate. And Nat King Cole's the same. They'll certain words, like they'll say, the joy of loving you. They won't say loving.
Yeah.
They won't do the ing because it's not necessary. Loving you.
Yeah,
but they'll hit the consonant at the top of the word.
Yeah.
And they'll choose when to let it go, when to drop the ing or whatever. But it'll be sparingly. Mostly you hear all the words.
Yeah.
But it's true. Just to be a bit nitpicky, that's different because you're going from loving to loving, and that's different. I mean, you still heard the end of in. Loving, loving.
Yeah.
You know, it's like you heard the end of the words. And no matter if you do loving or loving, as long as people, you hear the end of the words.
Well, and that's a word often that's written with the apostrophe on the end.
Yeah, that's true. You know, well, it's like if you ever listen to Louis Louis, you know, this famous, what is Louis Louis? Oh, baby, who's that? Is that the Turtles or the?
No, it's somebody earlier than that.
Oh, the, yeah.
Can you Google that, Nicole? Louis, L-O-U-I-E, L-O-U-I-E.
We'll find out.
It's one of the most famous rock songs.
Which no one can understand, but that's because he doesn't hit any of the ends of the words.
It's a bit like Van Morrison at his worst.
Yeah, it's true.
So I'm actually curious, Jenny, what came first with this? Because sometimes we try to guess if lyric came first or music came first. This song actually sounds pretty balanced because there's beautiful melodies, there's nice chords, which makes me think music came first, but it's also lyrically kind of very structured. Like there's patterns in the lyrics, there's nice rhymes, all that sort of stuff. So
I think I started off with a melody, but then to help it progress, I just had to come up with a chord progression.
So you start off with do-do-do, la-la-las as a melody or something like without words, without lyrics?
Yeah, okay. I would say so.
And then came back to lyric after you developed the music bed.
Yeah.
Right.
And the more songwriters that I talk to, they always start off with a melody. I find interesting.
Everyone always starts off differently.
Always with. I don't know, it depends.
That start. Bruce starts with lyrics.
I
almost
start with
completely.
Lyric always.
I always
Phil,
start with the lyrics.
Phil always ends with lyric. I'm kind of in between. I can go either way.
So sometimes I feel bad. I'm like, oh, maybe I should start off with the lyrics. But
I think it could be a good practice to sort of push yourself out of your comfort zone and try to do something you didn't, try. Yeah.
I was listening to Song Exploder on my
fine podcast.
Yeah.
So Song Exploder. So they take apart a song, they sit with the artist and take it apart and track by track and they play it. And it was Rivers Cuomo from
Weezer.
Oh, right.
You know what he does? He listens to pop songs and then he steals the chord progression. He plays it on his guitar with some fuzzy stuff on it. Then he changes the name of the chord progression from the actual song to a mystery name, like, chord progression 63. So he'll forget the song.
Then
he takes that chord progression and he starts putting the chord progressions together or just playing with that. And that's the start of it. And then he'll add a lyric to that.
Oh, cool.
But it's stealing. I mean, you can't copyright a chord progression, right?
Yeah.
But that's where he gets his – and he has all these spreadsheets and – all these files and everything. I was really impressed. Like he's a professional songwriter.
Absolutely,
right?
Yeah.
So
one thing I noticed about the song though is, and I guess it's because you have been working on it and you've edited, which I always respect because that's the pros. The pros are the people who look at the work and they tweak it and they polish it. They just some people say, oh, it is what it is, and that's what it's going to be, and that's fine. But if you're going to be serious about the craft of songwriting.
It's fine if you're Mozart.
Yeah. I mean, if you're not serious about the craft of songwriting, you need to go through and tweak and polish it and go, you know, gee, is that line as strong as it can be? And, you know, do that. But how there was no lazy repetitions in your in the melody. I mean, you had melodies that like each line was considered and built on the other one, and it was like a really well-crafted song.
It was a very fine attention to detail, actually.
Yeah, which is really nice.
What was the structure in terms of verse, chorus? Was this a standard structure? I didn't have the lyrics in front of me. But
when I examined it before, I feel like it doesn't have a true chorus. When I brought it to other people, they're like, yeah.
Well, it's got a chorus. Yeah. It's got that beat part.
Rainwash
Over Me ends with the title. That's your chorus, for sure.
Yeah, I treat that like some people, like I thought, does this sound like a pre-chorus? But then I tried to write a chorus and it just wasn't working.
It kind of does, but
you could, yeah. Like, have you thought about doing a chorus with just the Rainwash Over Me or whatever that line was?
Yeah, I have. Yeah. I can't remember what it was, but I don't know. It wasn't working.
At a certain point, it doesn't matter as long as there's change, as long as there's difference, and as long as it sounds good to you, then that's what counts.
Yeah.
And then I found I was really rhymey. Like I changed, I'm pretty sure, like at least in the first and second verse, like it rhymed every time, and I just it started to sound cheesy to me. I'm like, how else can I like just experiment and then. Yeah.
Do you know about rhymezone.com?
No.
Great little website, because you can punch in a word and say, give me close rhymes or almost rhymes. And so it'll just rhyme the vowel sound but not the last consonant sound or whatever. Mm. And it'll give you full phrases too.
Rhymezone.com.
Great little website.
There's something for everyone on the internet. Isn't there is. Rhymezone?
Oh, absolutely.
I saw a picture of a cat.
Oh, really? I saw a video of a cat.
Wow!
No, but the thing, Neil, in your songwriting course, your lyric course that I took recently, you talk about rhyme and the effect of rhyme on a song, right? When you have a lot of rhyme, it may start to sound, like you say, cheesy. Like it may sound forced. And when you have close rhymes or almost rhymes,
works with Sting. Sting does that.
Yeah,
what does he do?
Yeah,
a lot of perfect rhymes.
Oh yeah,
yeah, and a lot of people do. The whole point to the teaching. I stole this from Pat Pattison. Really, is that if you got a lot of perfect rhymes, it helps if you're saying something confident or happy. Then it kind of reflects the emotion of what you're saying, right? If you're saying something a little bit darker or less confident, or kind of somber, then perfect rhymes maybe don't fit. And that's and that's not a rule.
Yeah,
that's interesting.
You know, it's just a guideline to say if you want the spirit of the emotional quality of your lyric to line up with the craftsmanship of of how you structure it, then that maybe is a way to go. Something to think about.
And that's true. But another thing that really helps, with confidence, is that the fact that you're probably just listening to Song Talk Radio with Bruce Neil and Phil on CJRU 1280 AM in Toronto. And tonight, our guest is Jennifer Perez. Amazing, amazing. Don't forget, we love to hear from you, so please tweet in your thoughts to us at Song Talk Radio on Twitter, or send us an email at feedback@songtalk.ca, and we will share your thoughts in real time. And don't forget, you can always find the links to all the products and books and web services we mentioned, just like rhymezone.com, here on Song Talk Radio on our resources page at songtalk.ca/resources. Lots of stuff there to peruse.
What's coming up?
Well, good. Thank you for asking that.
That was throwing you a cue there.
And coming up on Song Talk Radio in the coming weeks, we have on July 4th the folkish, originally from Boston, Massachusetts, Rachel Raddatz. July 11th, musical storyteller Randy Shook. And on the 18th, we have a talented, busy recording artist who's kind of a poppy John Mayer-esque. Nolan Hubbard. And if you're in the Toronto area, please join us for our next Songwriters Meetup roundtable on Sunday, July 23rd from 1 to 4 p.m. at the Transat Club. It's free to join on meetup.com. If you want to share a song, please get there by 12:45 to get on the list, because it does fill up quite fast. It's free to join on meetup.com and free to attend the Songwriters Meetup. Stop by songtalk.ca/meetup for all the details.
Yeah, the Songwriters Meetup. It's happening again.
Yes,
you guys
yes,
going to be there, right?
Yeah, I'm not sure yet.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, you'll be there. Yeah. Phil will be there.
One of us will be
there. It's your turn to host. One of us. Some of you listening in on the podcast or live may not know that we have this Songwriters Meetup, which is going for Well, we knew it for since, 4 years now.
Since 2013.
Yeah.
Since
I've been there since 2010.
Well, yeah, me 2011. So it's been quite a while. No, I wasn't.
Yes.
Yeah, I think so. But anyway, that songwriters meetup, which was giving feedback to songwriters, just like here, birthed this show.
So and boy, it was messy.
What?
Yeah.
Oh,
well,
it was messy. There was some
it was
labor.
Messy, yeah.
But
took a lot of labor.
Ryerson heard about the songwriters meetup and said, "I wonder if you could do a radio show about that." And we did. And now, three and a half years later, on show number 178,
wow,
we're still doing it,
amazing.
And we're still talking to each other, Phil,
yeah,
Neil,
mostly.
And Bruce, Neil, Phil.
Yeah,
during the week.
And actually, Jenny, just before the show, you were saying you that's where we discovered you, is the meetup.
Yeah.
And you said you incorporated some of the feedback into. Was Dream Again a song that you brought to the meetup and then we had some feedback on? Do you remember specifically what you gleaned from there?
Were you playing the out-of-tune piano or the tuned piano? Oh, it doesn't matter.
I think
it was the out-of-tune piano, but I had a mic, so then you were able to still hear me.
That's right.
Well, yeah. Okay. But it's always a little bit out-of-tune, at least, yeah.
I don't know why people don't tune pianos. It drives me nuts.
Well, no, it's much better.
Yeah. It's better than it used to be, for sure.
Well, that is true.
A comment that I do remember was at the beginning to keep my accompaniment soft because I just sing really softly or something. And then what else was there?
There was probably a brilliant insight from me.
I think what she said was variation. You liked the variation and how I didn't do each. Like something wasn't the same all the time, so
right.
I remembered that.
And well,
like,
you were very musical. You did theme and variation, right? And that's what happened tonight in the performance.
Yes, absolutely.
There was no direct repetition of the theme, so you created a theme and then you played with it, which is really interesting for the listener.
But also kept it like it didn't seem random. I mean,
there's still structure to it, but enough variation,
which actually probably comes from the classical training because you deal with a lot of themes when you're playing.
Yes. And variations.
Them guys. Yeah.
But you bring up a good point, Jenny Perez, because when people are accompanying themselves on guitar or piano, they have to learn to be an accompanist, which is very different from a player, right? And when I'm working with guitar players especially, they'll sometimes just start hitting that guitar and it'll be loud and loud and it'll stay loud. And none of the dynamics of the voice are supported by the dynamics of the guitar. So the guitar is plowing through or the piano is plowing through. So just a tip to all your listeners at home, if you're accompanying yourself, be very sensitive to having the instrument support the vocal, not compete with it.
And that's even if you're accompanying a vocalist, you got to pay attention
especially because
I played with piano players, especially piano players who played on their own, because if you say, like, you have to learn how to, you know, do it with, learn how to play when you're singing, is that they very often fill up all the spaces. And really,
on top of the singer.
Yeah, and there's no room for anything. And you did that a couple times. You're just playing very simple chords, but allowed you to do fairly complicated melodic lines with your voice. And I think if you had really complicated, you know, chords going underneath it, which you probably do without any trouble, but it would conflict with the voice, and it takes the tension away from the voice.
It's really a difference of melodic interest. Like if you've got a lot of melodic interest in your piano part, then it potentially could conflict with the vocal part.
When Frank Sinatra met his new conductor, and I don't know whether it was Nelson Riddle or who it was, but the story goes that he went in for one song. He sat in for one song with the new conductor, and he said, "Stop, stop, stop." And he told the conductor, "We're going for a drink across the road." And he said, "It's very simple. When I sing, you don't play. When I don't sing, you get to play."
Yeah,
that's a good rule because you listen to these great arrangers of the big bands and stuff like that. And when the singer's there, it's just bum, 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 bum. And then the singer pauses and there'll be this little beautiful fill, maybe a violin section or a flute thing happens, right? Mm-hmm. And that's the mark. And that's what you have to become. And we do it in my vocal performance workshop I'm doing with Neil every month. Talk a lot about leaving space for the voice and the feeling to come through. And
that's something when
and
I was,
you're an arranger. Once you start playing an instrument, you're an arranger.
When I worked when I was picked up by that producer, that was one of the things he said with the band, is because bands very often start playing and they just
barrel
play,
through.
Where it's like he's saying, you know, you can play louder and you can play softer. You know, you've got different volumes in your instrument. Play it.
And you can stop.
Yes, you can
one
stop.
One of the
playing.
Most powerful things, which some people call a breakdown or just a tacit, you know, in mm-hmm. classical music, it's a sign, it's a tacit. Boom. Play again, right?
Yeah.
And it's like, whoa, that was a nice little, the pause that refreshes, right?
Mm-hmm.
And remembering that everything comes out of silence. So, you know, that's a bit esoteric maybe, but when you return to silence and then bring something new out of that, it's very powerful in the middle of a song.
What is your writing schedule like now that you're trying to work in, because you're obviously playing a lot with, doing the gig on the, for this Jubilee thing. What is your writing schedule? Like, how are you writing?
Do you have one?
I don't have one. Usually it's when something inspires me, but sometimes I'll try to force myself down at the piano and nothing happens, or mm-hmm. even just like going out to these open mics and just listening to other, like live music is so powerful. So
yeah, I've heard people leave the meetup and be like, I feel inspired now to go home and write a song.
Oh, I've done that.
I've run out of my own.
Yeah.
I'm just not inspiring myself, so I have to get it from somewhere else, whether it's like a movie or whatever. But live music is amazing, so Toronto is amazing for that.
Let's hear another song.
Yeah.
Good idea.
What have you got? You got Mr. Tinder?
Yeah. This is Mr. Tinder.
Do you want to set this up for the audience?
Sure. So I wrote this when I was on Tinder, and I was in a cafe and I was with some girlfriends and I was just telling them about my experiences, and they were just, for some reason, they were entertained by it. So I thought, you know what, maybe I should turn this into a song and just, I don't know, see what happens. And of course, by its name, like, it's just, it's horrible. It's
pretty obvious.
You'll get the idea.
But that actually is a very good tip. Like, you can glean ideas just from everyday life.
Yeah.
You know, and
exactly.
Then it's just a matter of finding the moments and saying, hey, you know what, that might make a good song.
Yeah.
Yeah, and if your friends are interested, it means you may have a story.
I hope so.
Yeah. So let's hear your Mr. Story. Tinder. It's Jenny Perez with Mr. Tinder, accompanied by Sherry Jacoby.
You drive in style, impress the girls, flaunt daddy's money, cash in string pearls. Dress so well, can't help but smile, you kiss so well, worth my while. Panties are off, blonde hair, blue eyes, panties are off, drink up your life. Panties off, rich and tall, panties are off, watch me fall. Don't give to shh, he's in my head. I won't put out, kicked out his bed. Said no goodbye, just turned away. Another score, another day. Panties are off, blonde hair, blue eyes, panties are off, drink up your lies. Panties are off, rich and tall, panties are off, watch me fall. I keep trying, trying to contain myself. I can't help the way you look at me. Drives me crazy. I keep trying, trying to contain myself. I can't help the words you whisper. Drives me wild. Still wish you well, you're on your way. Tasting cultures, got a number of days. Call the shots, no God to pray. Blow and money, what a cliche. So my panties stay on, you're off the wall. Panties stay on, you're mean as hell. Panties stay on, no score to tell.
That was Jenny Perez with her song, Mr. Tinder, and you're listening to Song Talk Radio with Bruce, Neil, and Phil on CJRU 1280 AM in Toronto. Neil, what did you think, Neil, about the panty song?
The Mr. Tinder song, you mean?
Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. The Mr. Tinder. All right. It's a compelling lyric. It's the first time in three and a half years.
That's what people are going to call it.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's an interesting thing. Because
it's the first time in 3.5 years on this show that anybody's used that word.
That's true.
Yes. And we haven't even had a guy sing about his underwear.
Well, that's true. Well, very true. But more to the point, Mr. Tinder never shows up in the song.
Yeah.
Right? So.
Yes.
So, I mean, irrespective of the title, like if the title was Panties Are Off, for instance, I guess you can get let go of the Tinder thing. You know what I mean? Like, it's not necessarily about Tinder specifically.
And
the rest of the song is structured that way. There's nothing in there that references online experience or anything like that.
And it's just, could be dating in general.
It could just be a song about that kind of guy, right?
Right.
The heel. The Mr. Hotshot. Tasting cultures. That was interesting. So he was a type of guy, I'll try one of those.
Yes.
And one of those.
That's exactly what
he
is.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. He's Mr. Player.
I like, let's try an ethnic. Yeah.
Yeah.
Terrible.
Yeah.
Actually, the other point is that Mr. Tinder is actually a pretty cool title. And it's the kind of title that would suck you into a song and be like, oh, I wonder where this is going.
I wonder if you could bring it into a chorus somehow.
Or actually, why don't you just write another song called Mr. Tinder?
Yeah.
I could.
Because it is a great title.
Yeah, could do that too.
You know, I'm going to give you a suggestion here.
Sure.
Now, when you say panties are off, panties are on, it's very compelling, but it's also very distracting. Mm-hmm. And it's very specific and it's very graphic, right? And I'm wondering... Let's go with the flow here for a minute. Mm-hmm. If you replaced Panties Are Off or On with Mr. Tinder. Mr. Tinder, blonde hair, blue eyes. Mr. Tinder, drink up your lies. Oh, Mr. Tinder, you're rich and tall. Mr. Tinder, watch me fall. Mm. Because Mr. Tinder is like Mr. Tinder. It's got an internal rhyme. It's the name of the song. Mm-hmm. And I'm not a prude or anything. I miss nothing about that. But it tends to grab an interest away from the heartbreak of the song because it becomes very sexual that way with the panties and all that. But it's not really about sex, the song. It's about being used and using people and being caught up in somebody's wealth, which equals power, which is very impressive and sexy at the beginning, right? Mm-hmm. But then it's like, so anyway, that's just what I'm thinking on a rewrite. If I would rewrite this with you, I would just, not to clean it up, but to move it to talking about this type of guy, which I need to watch out for. What you could do, just one sec, just on the bridge. A bridge is a perfect time to do reflection on what's going on. So you were trying to contain myself. It drives me crazy the way you look at me. I'm trying to say no, but your words, which is the same message as the rest of the song. So here's an idea if I was to rewrite this with you.
Yeah.
I would do in the bridge is take what's your responsibility in the thing. So the bridge is like going up to 1,000 feet and looking at the rest of the song as the writer and saying, yeah, but I chose him. Yeah, but I keep doing this. I should probably stop. Yeah, but they're so attractive and then they're nothing, right? And it's like fool's gold, right? So the bridge could be an opportunity to reflect. Over to you, Phil.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, that's I'll take a counterpoint to that, mainly
Please do.
And it all depends on kind of what your point of songwriting is. And I think one of the problems with songwriting in general is that there's so much of it out right now, you know, because basically everyone with a guitar thinks they're a songwriter, and in truth, they are.
Of course.
And everyone records stuff and they put it on the web. So now there is like so much free music. Mm-hmm. I mean, back in the day, you know, back in the 70s, the only way people heard your music is if you went through a clearing process. You had to go through a record company. They had to put you out onto a record, and the record had to be accepted by a radio station. The radio station had to get that into play. There was all these levels that kind of filtered stuff out, but there's no filter anymore. So it's hard to kind of stand out. And although true, it's Mr. Tinder does, you know, would work quite well there.
I haven't heard a song called Mr. Tinder yet.
But the thing is, when you say panties are off, that grabs you immediately. That if you play that in the set, people will remember that. If you say Mr. Tinder, people might remember that.
But the thing is, though, the power. I'll give it to you, Neil. Just one second.
I just want to defend your point, if I may, for a second, Bruce. I think the point Bruce is making is that The Panties Are Off stands out. It does grab you, but it grabs you in a way that the rest of the song doesn't. So it's kind of a
it's
little
diverting.
Bit. It's diverting, and it's a little bit inconsistent. I think that's the point he's trying to make.
So,
So when I was writing advertising years ago, we had an expression in our agency. The words that you write on behalf of the product so that they'll catch the attention of the audience have to be unexpected and relevant, right? So you can put something like, you can wear, like tonight I wore the funny hat that this is two Canadian flags on a barrette, basically, and you'll get attention that way, right? But it's not just about getting attention with the lyric. It's about getting attention to keep them in the song, to keep the listener in the song and part of it. I think there's another song called The Panty Song, and this isn't it.
I totally disagree with that because I have heard songs like Mr. Tinder. We have who was Max? The head was it Mr. Furious?
Remember?
So there's lots of songs like Mr. Furious, Mr. This, Mr. That.
Yeah.
Hey, Mr. Big Stuff. Who do you think you are?
It's not a new theme.
So it's not a new theme. The Panties Are Off. Like I've never heard. Like we just mentioned that we've never heard that before.
Yes,
it's fresh and man, it grabs you. And if that was on the radio, people are going to go. That song.
I agree with you 100%.
And the Christian right will be picketing.
Yeah. I agree with you 100%.
Good. That's what you want.
But Phil, let me ask you this: does any other lyric stand out in the song?
From Panties Are Off. I had trouble hearing a lot of stuff because I don't have the lyric sheet in front of me. So that's a lot of times people are listening to songs. They're not listening to the way we listen to it. And that's another problem people never want to go see bands with me because I'd sit there and go, oh, the drummer is sloppy, the bass is off, you know, and they're just having fun. And I finally figured out that people at a bar just want to drink beer and have fun and groove to music. They don't care if the drummer's sloppy. And that's what
they're not there to critique.
Yeah, and people listen to stuff, and they're listening. They're listening to their song, and they're going to do that. And if that line comes on, they're going to grab that.
Well, we are a show for songwriters, so all our listeners out there
I actually want to hear. I want to hear from Jenny. What were you thinking when you wrote that line? Where did that line come from?
It was because when I was with my friends in the cafe, and I was describing, okay, this guy was really hot. So you know when you. Even when you just like see someone really, really attractive and you lose all sense of control and you're like, oh yeah, them panties are coming off. So when I said that, I just said it once and then just started laughing. I'm like, okay, maybe...
They understand.
They understand, yeah. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, well, maybe I can turn this into something, I don't know.
Well, it'd be nice actually to hear from our listeners. So if you're listening on the podcast, send us an email about what you think about this point and whether or not, you know, Bruce and Neil are right or, you know, correctly, if I'm right.
It's not right or wrong, just different points of view. But the thing is, by the way, I've met guys like that. I mean, yeah. Hot. Well, I mean, the thing is, like, this is a dilemma. This is a dilemma of the human being, right? Because our mind, it's called the amygdala hijack. Basically, when the instinctive brain takes over, it cuts out the prefrontal cortex entirely. All your rational reasoning goes out the window. So, if you have the hots for someone, if they are gorgeous and charming and everything, you have no brain. And if you've had a couple of drinks, it's even worse, right?
Yeah.
But your brain actually disappears. And I think it's something about the propagation of the species. I'm not sure why that is.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think it's
and certainly that line reflects that notion.
Yeah,
yeah. Yes.
I've just
Absolutely.
Gone. There's
Sadly.
No chance.
Well, yeah. It was a very natural. This wasn't something that you were sitting there going, oh, I want to write something that's kind of raunchy or
controversial.
It was
a very natural
experience for you. So, you said that naturally. You know,
I'm usually prim and proper. And
how does your mom feel about
this
song?
I think they've heard it, which is great.
we'll direct them to this podcast then. Listen carefully. It's hard to hear that, but it's... Yes. No, we won't do that to you.
It's all good. I'm a grown woman.
Yes, you are.
Now, are you going to, like, these songs are great, and they're, you know, basically finished. You know, they're really polished. Are you going to be recording these, or?
So I actually recorded Mr. Tinder. There was someone in the meetup that was a part of, what station was it? I can't remember. The Edge. Yes,
oh, wow.
It was The Edge.
Oh, okay.
And so me and Kairos... Last name again? Kairos.
I don't know how to pronounce it.
anyways, another musician from the meetup, he helped me play guitar because Sherry wasn't available at the time. And we went to the studio and recorded it. And so I can probably post a link somewhere. So can
that's the one you submitted to us, right?
Yeah, that's
lovely. The guitar is nice in that. That was this guy did that guitar for you.
Yeah.
Yeah, if there's a link to that online, we can certainly put it in our show post.
Where do you have it in SoundCloud?
You could put it on Soundcloud, though, couldn't you? You do it on SoundCloud.
I was just saying, wherever it is, if it's available.
I'll put it on SoundCloud. I have an account there. So
and how about the first song?
The first one I haven't. And my best friend, who's also a singer, we were actually like just experimenting yesterday, and she's just experimenting on some harmonies, and she's like this fantastic belter, and I was doing the core, or my bridge, actually, and then she did this really fantastic harmony belt, and I just thought, okay, yeah, this has to be recorded.
You know, I think the urge is to go into a studio and do a fancy recording. You can get a lot with just a microphone and just the voice, especially when you have the chops. Like you don't have to try to put reverb on it. You don't have to make your voice trying to sound any nicer because it's already beautiful.
Oh, thanks.
And you know, like Lily Allen, I don't know if you're aware of her stuff. You probably really like her. She's really a brainy, a female singer, mm-hmm. and she actually got signed just from doing playing acoustic guitar and singing on YouTube.
Wow.
And she got and
just from her computer? She used her computer as the recording device?
Yeah.
Everyone uses a computer as a recording device.
Well, oh, no, I know. Home computer.
Home run, yeah.
Yeah, well, there's something called GarageBand apparently I should try.
Yeah.
Yes.
Same.
Yeah. But, you know, it doesn't have to be fancy. Because I think when you have a natural talent like you have, it would be, you can just crap, you don't have to worry, but you can just capture it and put it, like it's going to sound great. Like it sounded great just in the room.
Mm-hmm. Yes, absolutely.
Well, you have a recording now. It's called Song Talk Radio.
That's right.
Podcast. That's on right. iTunes. It'll soon be on iTunes.
And it'll be on YouTube as well.
Yeah.
That's right.
There you have it.
So just go to YouTube then.
And I've heard a lot of, and I'm more comfortable if it's like at home, then you can just like go through so many renditions of like when you're recording something. Yes. But Neil has a
workshop.
Yeah.
Yes, I have a home studio and a workshop that I do, so if you want to learn how to do it yourself, yeah.
Oh, that's coming up. Is it next Thursday or this Thursday?
It's in 2 weeks.
2 weeks. Oh, it's in July.
It's July the 9th.
What's it called? Home recording?
It's the introduction to home recording workshop on my meetup, which is called the Songwriting Supermarket.
Cool.
Yeah.
You can give yourself a plug. Go for it.
Yeah. So I have a separate meetup called the Songwriting Supermarket, and I do workshops on home recording. I'm developing one on mixing and mastering. I also do one on songwriting music and songwriting lyrics.
And vocal performance
and
with
vocal
Bruce.
And vocal performance with Bruce, which is a new one.
So I want to hear a little bit more from you about your future of songwriting. How do you see yourself progressing?
Just constantly saying in the community, that's where I draw most of my inspiration. Just keep on learning. And like as a songwriter, as my genre, I'm aiming towards like pop. I don't know if I want to call it pop opera or
popera.
Just something. Because like my strongest.
Like Lady Gaga, pop opera.
Is she?
Well, big voice.
Yeah, she's amazing. Yeah. Great pianist.
Katy Perry's pop opera to me. It's a huge voice and poppy as hell. But that would... So what I was going to ask you, are you open to collaboration with other artists going forward in terms
definitely.
Of co-writes?
Yeah, I love duets. I love collaborations.
All right, I want to write with you.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
There's a start. So what kind of other writers are you looking for? If you're looking for someone who's... What strength in a collaborator would you be looking for?
Just different ideas, because when I'm writing, it's always the same. Actually, I remember Sherry, I noticed in her songs, she has a lot of imagery, and I know you have an English degree, so I'm like, there's something to this.
That's
so,
true.
I'm like, I should maybe just experiment with that, and
we're
going to have a show soon together.
With image and metaphor and symbols.
Because I never have that.
Mine's me neither.
Just, it's really blunt and...
One in
do
Mr.
I?
Tinder.
Well,
like,
well, it's called graphic
imagery, I guess.
Yeah.
But yours is more like scenic and like, yeah. So,
so
I found that really...
between being direct and being kind of impressionistic almost, right?
Yeah, that's my goal. Like, I've always said I was going to release an EP and everything, but that's like years in the making. And I do like workshopping songs, and then I feel a bit more... complete now with like with Dream Again that like it feels better that I was able to change it a couple times and mm-hmm. it wasn't so rhymy and like all that
stuff. Right, right.
So.
Now you're going off. Now tell us about this gig that you're at. You're going across country and
yeah, across Canada. So it's I guess part of my theater days. It's with Celebrations or Jubilations, and the show is called Orange is the New Pink. With a cast of six of us. So,
wow. Will you be singing and playing piano or just singing?
Just singing.
Okay.
So,
wow.
Is there acting as well?
Yeah, I have little skits. It's a parody. It's like a parody off of Orange is the New Black.
Okay. But yeah. It's set in turn of the century times, like the Jubilee part?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep, modern. Yeah, it'll be a lot of fun.
Okay. Is that happening in Toronto?
Unfortunately not. It's in Winnipeg, Edmonton, and Calgary, but I'm going to be back in no time.
Okay.
And it looks like we have to wrap up. Thank you, Jenny Perez, for being here.
Thank you very much. Awesome stuff.
And thank you, Sherry.
Thank you, Sherry.
Jacoby, for accompanying on guitar. That was lovely. And that's all the time we have on Song Talk Radio with Bruce, Neil, and Phil. A big thanks to our guest. She is singer-songwriter Jenny Perez, and you can find her on the web. It's P-E-R-E-Z or Z. Depending on where you are in the world. Send us your impressions via Twitter at Song Talk Radio. You can email us at feedback@songtalk.ca, Facebook and YouTube at Song Talk Radio, or stop by the site, songtalk.ca. We're everywhere. Subscribe to the Song Talk Radio podcast on iTunes, and please leave a review so more people will sign up. songtalk.ca/iTunes. And don't forget to sign up for our free newsletter where we have great articles. That's at our website, songtalk.ca. You can find links to all the products, books, and web services we mention on Song Talk Radio on our resources page. That's at songtalk.ca/resources. What was that thing called? Chord?
Rhyme Zone?
Rhyme Zone.
That's right, yes.
.com. And if you're in the Toronto area, we will remind you once again, come on over to Songwriters Meetup. I hope you'll come, Jenny Perez.
Yes.
Sunday, July 23rd from 1 to 4 at the Transact Club on Brunswick. If you want to share a song, get there by 12:45 to get on the list. We have a really powerful group of people come out with great tunes. It's free to join on Meetup and free to attend the Songwriters Meetup. Stop by songtalk.ca/meetup for all the details. Thanks to Michael and Alyssa at CJRU, 1280 AM.
CJRU.
For their support, and you, the home lister, whether you're online right now or on podcast later. If you're on Twitter, you can follow Phil at...
The Phil Emery.
Neil at...
NeilMody_.com.
What do you think? Yes?
Nicole?
Me?
Yeah. Yes. Just say it and we'll repeat it.
Nicole K. DiDonato.
Nicole K. DiDonato, do you have any of that going on, Sherry?
Sherry Jacoby.
Oh, now it's Jacoby. Okay. Jenny Perez, Jenny? Do you have Twitter?
I don't have Twitter.
Okay,
there's
no
website.
What?
I do have a website, JenniferPerezMusic.com.
Yay.
JenniferPerezMusic.com. I'm at Bruce Herrett. And please stop by the website, as we've mentioned many times, songtalk.ca, to browse past shows and find out how you can be a guest on our show. That's all the time we have. Good night.
Good night, everyone.
Keep on writing.